Look at that, we're live. All right, what is up, gentlemen? We are on Before the Train Wreck number 53, my brothers from another mother. This is a highly requested topic, and to be honest, I'm a little surprised. I didn't think that there was a whole lot of interest in this one, but it's one that keeps coming up and one that popped up quite a few times in the last few weeks, and I'm going to use some really interesting examples. Before we get started, a couple of housekeeping things. One, the back end of YouTube Studio is still not properly working for me on members only chat. So chat is wide open. Fortunately, though, on StreamYard, I do have members chat that pops better for me. So I will keep an eye out for members only questions. So on the chat side, you guys are probably going to be at yourselves, each other in there. They do pop a lot easier on StreamYard for me, so I can kind of improvise. So there's that too. A lot of you guys have asked me, where's Sean? What's he doing? Are you going to have him back on for another episode? Blah, 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 blah. Sean's still out there. He wanted to take a break for a bit. So you can find him on Twitter, ping him there if you want to say, hey, what's up, or engage. But yeah, hope to see him back at some point. He just wanted to catch up on some personal stuff. So I'm in touch with him on the social pages of the world, and seems like he's doing good. He's doing his thing. So today's topic is red pilling your friends. And I had a conversation with some dudes from a men's community earlier this afternoon. They're like, this will be the quickest one ever. You could do it in a minute. Just say, don't do it. It's like Fight Club. You don't talk about it. But I will share some very useful examples for you and give you some techniques and tips. Hope you give you a little bit of a leg up. Let's get right into this. I know there's a couple people that wanted to ask some questions, so I will drop a join link. So if you have an experience to share later on in the broadcast, that'll be the place to do it. I think it's always great to learn for yourself, but at the same time, it's a lot quicker and cheaper to learn from other mistakes so you don't make them yourself. So if anybody has a good experience to share with trying to red pill friends or any tips that they might have had along the way, you can hop in there, share that. Or if you have a question that's relevant to today's topic, you can ask that. So let me start by sharing this screen over here and throw that up. Just going to pull this over a little bit more, make it a little bit bigger. So this comment over here popped up the other day on my notifications on my studio app. And this was in relation to a video that I put out, I think it was Saturday morning, just on following your passion. Yeah, I said there was these three things you had to follow. And Vince said, so far, I've showed two lifelong friends these videos and we're no longer friends. One of their wives called me out about it as well. I'm literally losing friends over this shit. Richard says, share the videos. You can, but be very careful, fellas. I'll be watching them for myself from now on. I said to him, dude, time for new friends. These ones are simps. So let's get into this because this kind of segues into the next one that I wanted to go over with you right over here. So there's another one that I wanted to read. So this one is a little bit longer, and I'm not going to put it up on the screen because it's from my men's private community, but it'll kind of frame it a little bit better for you. So this guy has one of his closest friends that's been acting very distant for a long time. He loves this guy like a brother. He's been avoiding him, so he confronted him, and he got this. So they used to hang out a lot in university. They'd go to this one locale, which I'm not going to mention, but it was basically the student club that mostly, revolved around parties, getting together, drinking, sex, stuff like that. So typical, university stuff. And he's, let me see here, referencing old friend who met this girl, never spoke. Okay, so back in the day, me and the boys were very loose, party animals, focusing mainly on themselves, gym, women, never unethical, but were very, basically young man-like. Bit notorious. Although they were respectful and well-liked. Now, this friend of his that sent him this message, which I'm going to read for you, he had a bit of a struggle personally. He regrets it all, but he has a girlfriend now, apparently. So girlfriend lovely actually has. So he thinks that there's a lot of influence from the girlfriend, which will typically happen. I'll talk about that a little bit later on. as his red pilling came, so this is the guy that wants his friend back. So as his red pilling came later, he became more red pilled and was going along the way as he started calling him out, saying he dislikes some of my views on society. So one of the things that you're going to notice when, see, because there's two versions of, I mean, I like to use these binary terms just because it's just simple to break it down. Of course, there's a blurry area kind of in between, but there's comforting lies and there's uncomfortable truths. The comforting lies are basically societal programming, you know, that social primary order that we've pretty much all subscribed to all of our life. Be less so she can become more, you know, the notion of, you know, this current modern day version of toxic feminism, societal programming from government, media, schooling. Religion even today has societal programming that is basically all filled with comforting lies that supports one single narrative, which we've talked about for a long time. We don't need to drill down that. But that narrative doesn't really work for a lot of guys, and it lets them down, and they end up in scenarios of heartbreak, and they have really, really bad cases of one-itis. I mean, one of the things that I do a lot of coaching on, aside from divorce, is guys trying to get over the one, like their one-itis. And all of that comes from an old world belief system that doesn't serve you, the AKA comforting lies. So the uncomfortable truths, which she's tying into the red pilling, started calling me out, said he didn't like some of my views on society, which is what we just talked about. Now, he got into a debate with him, and he was saying to this member of mine, women are oppressed in each and every way, put that in quotations, which he found very disturbing, of course. He also left all of the guys groups, group chats, you know, social events, you know, like anything that had to discuss life as young men, you know, even anything close to what looks like a locker room chat as I'm kind of reading it here. Nothing that bad, just kind of like standard stuff. And this friend of his started to look at it as like even using phrases like hot when referencing attractive women. And he saw some of the conversations as disrespectful, even though it wasn't misogynistic. It was just guy talk. So he thinks that has all these roots in the fact that he had a troubled childhood relationship, parents, had a lot of issues. Okay, I'm not going to go through that. Now sees terms like toxic masculinity being part of the problem. He says he's happier now for his choices, but this guy says he loves this guy like a brother and he wants him back. So he doesn't want to change him, but he just wants his friend back is what he's saying. So his response to him here is, you're not going to mention the name. So I appreciate the message. I feel like we've grown in different directions. I'm really liberal and open-minded and feminist and weird. I'm just really focusing on myself and what, now you can't focus on your, like those two things are contradictory in nature. You can't focus on yourself and support a lie, essentially. And I'm just really focusing myself on what I value and trying to start fresh. I guess that's the reason behind my move to name large top five city in the world. So I've tried to move away from that club life and values, et cetera, as I don't feel it's who I want to be or associate with and start aligning myself. That's what I value more. And hope you're all okay. Mentions a few other names. That's it. Okay, so let's close that down. And I'll go back to the screen over here so I can rejoin you and pay attention to you guys. Okay, gentlemen, you're going to run into this. You are going to run into this often. What are the natural things that guys like to do when they come across, I don't know, you can call it a hack, a cheat code in life, you know, something that lets you play, not even on God mode, but closer mode to, you know, optimize life, is you start telling your friends about it. I mean, I started telling friends about it when I got on TRT, obviously, right? Because you feel more optimized, you feel better, you're more focused, you're more productive, you know, you feel younger. When you get involved in uncomfortable truths that tie into the red pill notion away from comforting lies, you start to do the same thing. You want to tell your friends, you know, you start at family gatherings, something comes up and somebody says, you know, like a male friend of yours or a brother, maybe your cousin says, you know, I really just want to support a female primary social order and the patriarchy's bad and I'm now a male feminist and stuff like that. You're most often going to chime in and say something because you care about that person. You know, like you mentioned in his message there, it's like, you know, they're like a brother to you. You don't want to lose them. You don't want them making mistakes that you've made. but that inclination that you have to try to rescue them. I think men in general like to have that. They're more so inclined to try to rescue people. You know, we've heard this phrase often, Captain Save a Woman. Obviously, I have to water down my language more often now on the YouTubes, but Captain Save Women. And we like to try to do that with friends too. And that's kind of normal, but not everybody's ready to hear the truth. Most people that come to these uncomfortable truths away from the comforting lies usually arrive there because of trauma. They don't arrive there for any other reason that I've seen anyway. It's always because something bad happened to them. They got run through the divorce machine. They got their heart broken, you know, one too many times. They were misled and lied to by women. They were cheated on. They were, you know, fill in the blank. It's almost always got something to do revolving around the sexual marketplace or components around that. For some people, they're red pilling. Like, I've talked to guys where the red pilling came from. Hey, what's up, Ryan? I've seen guys that, you know, the red pilling came from their experience in the military or with their boss in a certain company. It doesn't happen that often. But the unplugging from the comforting lies to the uncomfortable truths is always coming from some kind of form of trauma. So keep that in mind. Now, a couple things here is, I'll get to the super chats as soon as I can. Neil, I'll get to yours next. Just give me a second. You can't soar like an eagle if you surround yourself with turkeys. If you're going to hang out on the ground level with all the clucking turkeys, cluck, 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 cluck. I'm a male feminist. I support these notions and ideas. I support comforting lies. Let's just call them comforting lies. And then up in the sky is an eagle. It's soaring. And it's dealing with the uncomfortable truths of altitude, of gravity, of wind, of looking for food, and all the other stuff. The stupid turkeys are on the ground, clucking around, getting their free food, pecking away, you know, on the farm. There's always a lot more work to get up there. There's always a ton of work to get up there, to come to that recognition and that realization. And one of the things that you got to realize as a man, guys, is you're going to leave some people behind. It's just a reality of your life as you get older and you mature and you become a better version of yourself than what you were last week, last year, last month, that sort of stuff. It's always going to happen. It's inevitable. People will be left behind. But like crabs in a bucket, I think this is one of the concepts that was in Rollo's first book in The Rational Male. Like crabs in a bucket, they're always going to try to pull you back in. And I've looked this up. I've seen videos of crabs in a bucket and they try to crawl out. There's always one or two that tries to get out. They get near the top or they might grab onto the ledge and they start to pull themselves out. The other crabs will pull them back in. Very, very relevant notion. You know, guys are the same way. Guys will abandon long time friendships for any number of reasons. And sometimes it has to do with profit, making money, or a whole bunch of other things, but they will abandon that and leave you behind. There's going to be some friendships that are going to go away because of that. And that's totally fine. I want to deal with you with the you've changed in a second. Let me grab the super chat real quick here. Neo says, interestingly, the guys that I see that refuse to even consider the truth about their girlfriend cheating, et cetera, have at least one thing in common. They lack options. Very true. Very, very true. Anybody with, like, the definition of one-itis is an unhealthy attachment to one woman. The belief that that is the only one for you and that there could never be another one. It's impossible. How could there possibly be another one out there? And then you have that friend of yours that you tell them, you know, there's 8 billion people in the world. Half of those are women. And if you think that there's only one woman for you, you might want to reconsider that because there is no one. Well, how could you say that, Rich? That's impossible. She's my one. She's truthfully my one and only one. And then you start to drop some truth bombs that, you know, destroy his belief system, that change the way that his theory in the way that he views the world starts to collapse and break down. And not all guys are ready for it. You know, they say that alcoholics can't deal with their drinking problem until they acknowledge that they have a drinking problem. I think the same thing is true for guys as well, is they can't do anything about things like simping, you know, putting women up on a pedestal constantly until they realize that they're a simp. And it might take you telling them that. It might take other people telling them that. It might take them going through a couple of really bad relationships with women that don't work out, that may not serve them particularly well whatsoever, that set them back. But it's only until they realize or are willing to accept they have a problem that they're going to tackle it. So I think the thing to remember when you try to red pill friends, because this is really a big before the train wreck sort of conversation. I mean, friendships end. Family members don't talk to each other because of dialogue like this. And you don't want to create friction or distance, especially between blood relatives. My brothers know exactly what I talk about. They've seen it. They look at it and they're like, yeah, okay. I'm not really sure why people listen to you though. But at the same time, when I hear him giving me an update, my brother, let's say, about his own personal life, and he's talking about his experiences with women. I've got one brother that's married and one that's not. I'm talking about the single one. And when he's giving me his experiences around women, I can tell he's red pilled. I can tell he's been paying attention to what I've been saying. He doesn't want to admit it. You know, siblings are like that sometimes. They like to compete and they like to, you know, pretend that they, you know, they do it on their own. Me and my brothers, you know, are quite competitive. But he's been paying attention. And I think that you want to demonstrate. It's like that whole, you want to demonstrate, you don't want to explicate. You just kind of want to demonstrate through your actions and the choices that you make and the people that you allow into your life and the people that you refuse into your life. And that's how you really want to unplug your friends from comforting lies. If you want to show them the uncomfortable truths of the world, demonstrate to them by the way that you choose to lead your life, by the way that you choose to live, by the choices that you make, by the woman or women that you allow into your life, or the woman or women that you repel out of your life because you don't want misery in it, right? That's what a smart man does. That's the best way, in my opinion, to spread the uncomfortable truth of the narratives that we talk about that serve you better. So let's talk about you've changed. You've changed. I made a little note about that. Talk about that. Here, I'm going to grab the join link real quick because I'm almost through the end of my notes here. I didn't want to make this a super long broadcast. Copy and paste. So I'm just going to drop it in the chat. If you guys want to share an experience relevant to tonight's topic or ask a question, please do so. Control C and come on. There we go. Okay, you've changed. You guys ever heard anybody say you've changed? You've changed, Rich. I like the old Rich better. I like the old guy better. I like the guy before all of this stuff. I like the guy I knew before you read The Rational Male. Who's this Rollo Tomasi guy that's brainwashed you? There's always that person. I've had that conversation a couple times. I've had that drunk conversation on my voicemail in the middle of the night because I don't answer my phone. It's on mute. I always leave it on the charger. It's on mute, so it doesn't bother me, so I can sleep. I've had morons from my past call me and leave messages on my voicemail at 3 o'clock in the morning. They're drunk on their wine. Obviously, I don't have anything to do with their lives anymore because they're losers, but they're drunk and they're calling me, telling me that they miss the old Rich, this new guy on the YouTubes. He's a bad man. They don't agree with what I'm talking about. They don't want this known. You know, one of the most interesting conversations I had, I was talking to Rollo about something with the whole unplugging. And he said, you know, shared the story about this woman that got a copy of his book off her husband's nightstand or boyfriend's nightstand or something like that. And she said that, you know, she read the book and then she brought it back and said, you know, you shouldn't have this, basically. Like, you should know these things, but it shouldn't be in a book, essentially. I can't remember what the exact lyric were, but women want you to know these things. They want you to get it, but they don't want it in a book. They don't want you to have a video from me or anybody else out there clarifying things that confuse men, things that lead men to train wrecks, which is so unusual to me, because all the guys that I know that are unplugged and have left the comforting lies behind and subscribe to uncomfortable truths have the best relationships with women. The ones that choose to get involved with women have the best relationships. You know, they're the head of the household. They lead the frame. They don't deal with a lot of BS, and they certainly don't tolerate it. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for putting that up there, Neo said. Everything in this book is true, and you shouldn't know it. Exactly. Thank you. I saw another super chat there. Let me grab this. Let me get that question to set, Curtis. Hold on. M. Zulfi said, thanks for the super chat, by the way. In case SHTF, I think that's crap hits the fan in marriage, you should hide cash away. It's interesting that you mentioned that. I was talking to somebody about their divorce last week, and we had a similar type of conversation. That's a private conversation, but yes, that's something certainly to consider. Curtis, let me grab yours, my brother. He says, Coop, have an example of when you didn't leave a friend behind soon enough, held on too long. Let me think about that. Example of when you didn't leave a friend behind. You know, I've gotten to the point here. I'm going to drop a join link again one more time. I've gotten to the point, Curtis, where, I've had to leave people behind. And I think that you've got to get comfortable as a man. If you're intentional about, see, for those of you that are not in my 1% community, you have to understand that I have a men's private community. These are for guys doing work, and they're working on becoming a top shelf man. They want to become top shelf in income earning, understanding the sexual marketplace, self-care, all those things. And to do those things, there's certain people that you're going to have to leave behind. And sometimes they are going to be blood related. Sometimes you're going to have family members that you're going to have to lovingly put some distance between you and them, because as you move forward to this better version of you, there's some toxicity that you have to leave behind. It could even be with a parent, right? There's times in my own personal life that I've had to put distance between me and my own mom, for example, because there's times where she didn't get what I was doing and where I was going. And the only way that a family member can respect the boundary like that is by you putting some, you know, space between you, and you have to enforce those. The same way that you enforce strong boundaries in relationships, it's the same thing with family members, man. It doesn't matter if they're blood related or not. You're going to have to leave a few people behind. That makes sense, Curtis. There was another super chat there. Let me see if I can grab it. Just Mr. C, thanks for the super chat. There's no question. Amos, let me pull you in a second. Let me just make sure I got these all here. Yeah. What's up, bro?
Hey, how's it going?
You're muted.
Oh,
I got you.
You got me. Yeah. Got a question about, so you're talking about like friends and the red pill and such. How do you approach then if there's like certain social events, like let's say a wedding, and your friend invites you to his wedding? Oh, now with being red pill aware, understanding marriage, maybe you don't even know the woman that well. And he's like, hey, come to my wedding. Maybe even as a groomsman or a best man in that case, like how do you approach that? Because, and you know that he's just not on board with what you're about.
So like, here's the thing. If you're not on board with, like, you're talking about not being on board with who he's marrying.
Well, not even that, just being red pill aware. Like you're not
on board with marriage in general is what you're saying.
Or even just having reservations about it as a red pill aware man would. Like, because
if it's a wedding, and it's a family event, and it's, you know, you're going to see family, cousins, and a lot of friends there and stuff like that. To me, it's a party. If they want to, like, if he wants to throw his rights away and give them all to the state and to a woman, then that's his choice. I mean, if it was somebody that I knew personally, then I would have a conversation with him about it, obviously, because I just won't hold back now, because I wish that there was somebody there that would have had that conversation with me before I got married, right? To say, hey, look, you know, there's all these things that I'm seeing in your blind spots that you should be aware of that you're just not paying attention to. And would I have been receptive to it? Would I have responded? Would I have told that guy to go pound sand and maybe like uninvite him to my wedding? I don't know. But I wouldn't be able to sleep at night knowing that somebody that I cared about was going to make a bad choice, right? If it's a good choice, fine, whatever. You just keep your mouth shut and go and enjoy the party. If it's somebody that you don't care about, that you're arm's length from, just go and enjoy the party. Now, if it's a wedding where it's like, you know, hey, you're the plus one and you're invited to somebody's wedding that you don't even know. I don't do those anymore. Forget it.
Okay. So even if like a chick you're with, she wants you to come with. So, okay.
Bring your gay friend. No. I'm not going to be that. So what do you do at the table? Oh, and what do you do? Did you see the weather today? Oh, I just did it. No. No. I got no time for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Just thought I figured that was a good one. So
cool. Thanks. All right, I got Conk waiting. Conk, I'll pull you in a second. Let me just grab the super chat real quick. Got that one already. Sorry. Keep scrolling up here. Got that one. And there he is. What's up, brother?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. You shaved the head, eh?
Yeah, I'm bald-ish. Bald light, diet bald.
No, you still got more than I do.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, it's surprising. It was almost yours like 3 or 4 days ago. I guess it grows fast.
Yeah, man. You DM'd me earlier today because you wanted to chime in. So what do you think about all this, you know, red-pilling friends and trying to wake them up, give them a good shake?
Yeah. What do you think? Well, I think a good preface is, I missed the first couple of minutes, so you might have already prefaced this, but this is like dude-to-dude talk. You don't want to red pill women. Nothing good will come of that.
Do not red pill women. Do not try to convince them to see things through the lens that you view life.
Yeah, I don't care if it's your mom. You know what I mean? This isn't really their business.
Yes.
And if you're dating them, you know, girls are a dime a dozen. Find some more options. So I think that's a good preface, but I mean, at the end of the day, you can't force anyone to believe anything, right? You can't make the horse drink, right? And I think a lot of people get those kind of stresses because it's pretty normal when you're new to all this and you're learning all of it and you're gaining the benefits that you want to evangelize it, right? Yeah. You want to jump on a soapbox and tell everybody you see, look at all these good news. But the problem is, I think, honestly, a lot of the problems started with, this will sound weird, but I blame PewDiePie for a lot of it at first. Because,
interesting. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So PewDiePie is doing the Lord's work. A lot of his videos are pretty based. You know what I mean? But the thing is, since he has such a huge audience, as soon as he makes a video about anything, it becomes wildfire across the internet, right?
Yeah.
And the problem is he's starting to use red pill terms. And like, notice we had that. We had so many topics about the word simp, and the reason it cut him off is because he made a video about simps 2 weeks ago, and then it just became canon on the internet of what a simp is, and everybody's calling everyone a simp.
Yeah.
So the dude's got a lot of power. So every time he makes a video that even uses red pill terminology, even if it's not exactly the way we're using it, it just goes like wildfire, you know? And I think that's important to point out, because if you are trying to red pill your friend or whatever, and you use those terms, there's an automated connotation to it, good or bad. You know what I mean? So if you are talking to a friend who is about to make a horrible decision, like Amos talking about a friend getting married or things like that, if you do need to sit down and have a real talk with them, don't use red pill terms. You know what I mean?
Don't say, hey, have you heard the red pill?
yeah, exactly like that.
Have you seen The Matrix? Let me tell you all about The Matrix and take you down the rabbit holes.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even talk about alphas or betas. I wouldn't talk about simps. I wouldn't talk about cucking. I wouldn't talk about any of that. I would talk about literally just asking questions.
Here's a good example, right? You get a guy that's like, he's like, I've been her friend for the longest time, and she's not giving me the time of day, and she cries on my shoulder, and she keeps going out with these losers that just, you know, use her for sex. And, they're really abusive guys. You know, this one guy, Chad from the football team, and this other guy, Kevin from the sales department from her office. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm always there, but she doesn't give me the time of day. Like, you know, like, I'm just a good guy. Like, why doesn't she give me any attention? That's when you go, well, women make rules for beta men and they break them for alpha men, don't they? Mm-hmm. And just kind of see what he says. Like, that's really the only way that you can throw terms like alpha and beta at somebody that's not indoctrinated, that hasn't got their feet wet yet. And then you just see how they respond. And if they're not ready for it, you might as well talk to this coffee mug, because it's going to respond better. If their eyes widen, you see their pupils dilate and they lean in and they're like, tell me more. Mm-hmm. Then you can start talking about other concepts, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I always see them go for these rich guys or the guys that are super successful and masculine and muscular, and I don't understand. Well, you know, women hang out at the finish line and they tend to pick the winner. Have you noticed that? Right. And you kind of go from there.
Yeah, exactly. It's to me, it's a lot about asking questions and observations, right? Because you can say all of the lingo, but you don't have to use the words for it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if, for example, the one you gave, I would ask him, you know, well, what are you trying to get out of that friendship or relationship? What's your end goal, right? Are you trying to sleep with her? Are you trying to make her your girlfriend? And like, and then go step by step, like, what behaviors are you showing? You're showing you're giving her a lot of attention. That's what I see, right? Do you think you're giving her way more attention than those guys she's dating? What do you think that means, right? If you're giving away free attention, clearly that's not working for you.
Let me ask you this, because I mean, you do a lot of counseling work in your day job too. So when somebody seeks advice specifically, and then they don't like what you tell them, like, oh, you're just one of those red pill guys. You're one, conk, you're an angry incel.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Exactly. Well, I mean, first of all, I usually don't put myself in that position. I'm pretty good at not giving advice, which sounds weird for being a therapist. Like, the best therapists don't give advice, and they don't tell you what you want to hear. They get you to want to change and make it your idea, right? A lot of therapy is sales, surprisingly. Like, if you're at a car dealership or selling anything else, you might ask open-ended questions, present the product and all that stuff, but you're looking for an opening, right? To get your foot in the door, to see what do they really want, and how can you show that what you're providing is actually what they want, right? And so that's why I think it's important, like in that example, to open up, like, what are you trying to get out of this relationship? So they're pointing out that they need help, right? That you want something and it's not getting done, right? And then that's where you kind of get your foot in the door for that. And I mean, really, at the end of the day, it is all, most sales tactics apply, virtually all sales tactics apply to any kind of change in behavior or thought or anything like that. And a lot of it's going into showing that what you're providing is what they want, right?
Good tips.
Yeah.
Plug your stream on Sunday before you go. You've got Religion Zero happening on Sundays, kind of red pill and religion stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we kind of made an offbeat podcast called Religion Zero. We've already got two episodes in. Nothing but great feedback. I'm getting a lot of DMs on Twitter. I've gotten a couple of emails asking for more questions about all that. But, yeah, we're basically doing a deep dive. I want a bunch of panelists that were both red-pilled and also had, like, inside out, like, ministry experience, like, who've seen the man behind the curtain, right? Who knows, you know, who has a lot of experience in that. And so we've got me, we've got Amos Joe.
Was just on too.
Amos Joe before. We have Brooke Potter, who's in the UK and has, you know, a decade or more of ministry. And then we got our boy Bobby Leon, who's been who's into the Catholic red pill. And so, like, he and each one of us kind of has all been from different walks of life, different ministries, denominations, all of that. And we're kind of deep diving, like, what's nonsense and what's legit, so to speak.
What's that, like, what's that like when you talk to religious guys about, you know, unplugging and, you know, the uncomfortable truth about the world and the way that you guys interpret religion from your own practice too, right? Because that's got to be hard. Like, I can imagine that being just as hard as, if not more than trying to unplug the regular guy, right?
Yeah, because they both come down to, like, ideologies, right? We're trying to give a realistic approach to what does scripture actually say, what actually went on in Jesus' life, because most people just hear Bible Sunday school stories and that's the full brevity of their knowledge, right? They're not really given the deep dive. Just like with Blue Pill, they were offered, as a kid, they were offered one narrative of how the world works, and they stuck with it, guns blazing, right? Regardless of how horrible their success has been from adapting it. And it's the exact same thing with the church. Everything you hear from Joel Osteen or anything else on the TV, most of it's hogwash they made up, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of crap, and I'm not religious. I mean, I can tell you that just by looking at it. What's the name of the channel? Is it still under Conk, or did you change the name?
No, yeah, I'm still on my channel, just Conk. YouTube search Conk, you'll find it. That is my first episode, and we're starting to do a rotating. Just like Rule Zero, we're going to other channels. Cool. Our most recent channel was on Brooke Potter's channel. So if you look at Brooke Potter, you can see episode 2. The inaugural episode was on my channel. So
cool. Thanks for hopping on, brother.
Yeah, no problem.
See you in a bit. Ciao. Let me grab this super chat. Sierra, I got you lined up next to hop on. And then Mike, and Dave. So give me a second. I'll come in there. And Edmundoto says, tried to red pill my brother last year when he fell in love with a single mom and he got super hostile about it. I feel like you have to wait until they get burned before they're ready for the red pill. Yeah, that's a lot of guys. I've had a few conversations in the past year where like friends of mine or friends of specifically when I'm at a social event, they're like, you know, they corner you like, Rich, I know what you do. And here's, you know, here's the problem. You know, my brother's dating the single mom and it's a total nightmare and it's a train wreck. And I need to unplug him. I need to wake him up, man. He's, you know, it's not good. It's not going to end good. And it's like, all right, well, where's he at? You know, does he see the problem first of all? Cause that's where you got to start. If the person that you're trying to help out, the guy that you care about, the girl that you care about, whatever it is, the person that you're trying to help out is not recognizing they have a problem, you need to kind of start there, right? It's, you know, back to the whole, how does an alcoholic deal with his drinking problem? He first needs to acknowledge he has a drinking problem. People don't go to Alcoholics Anonymous if they don't acknowledge that they have a drinking problem, right? They're still sitting in the bar. They're still getting loaded. They're passed out on, you know, their floor at 3 o'clock on a Monday morning at 3 a.m. sort of thing. They're not going to acknowledge the problem that they have. So you have to wait for them to acknowledge it. So the second part is in, have they acknowledged they have a problem? Yes. Okay. That's when you can start dropping some nuggets of truths and see how they respond to it. And then if they're responsive, then you can take them further. And if they're responsive, you take them further. But you don't come at them hardcore with like, you know, book three after 9 years of reading Rollo Tomasi's essays or So Suave for him or, you know, slapping him in the face with the 16 commandments of Poon or anything like that. It's not going to work. See if they acknowledge the problem first. But that's a great point, Edmundo. Thanks for sharing that. All right, Sierra, you're in the stream, brother.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, man. You got a question or experience you want to share?
Oh, I got a lot. All right. So I'll get straight to the point. So go. I'm 24 years old. Recently got out of a bad family situation where is a big reason why I'm, I guess you could call it red pilled. But pretty much what ended up happening was back when I was, I want to say 10 or 11, my parents divorced, I think around like 2007 or whatever. And I did not understand what was going on at the time. I was, you know, young, naive. I was doing my own thing. And then before I know it, my world kind of collapsed into this family civil war where it was all about resources, revenge. My father was a weak father. He could not really stand up for himself, but he also had to become kind of a douche without going crazy cussing. Mm-hmm. And my mother was at the time deep in depression to the point where she had transformed herself into alcoholism and had pretty much squandered literally all the her side of the family savings, even my grandparents' house that her sister had sold, and pretty much kind of lost it. And when,
how old were you at this time?
I'm 24, sir.
And you're 24 when this happened, or you're 24 right now?
I'm 24 right now.
Okay, but when did this happen? How old were you?
I was at middle school.
Okay. So, okay. So you're young. So how does this tie into the whole losing friends to the unplugging thing?
Well, I lost friends because of a combination of me learning what was going on. I also made the mistake of bringing in my mother into my life when I got independent from my parents and was learning and unplugging myself from some of the social norms, like you need to support your mother, you need to, you know, be the good guy, you need to support the woman and support all these things, which ultimately bankrupt me to $10,000 in credit card debt back in 2016, which at the time was like, I think 22, 21 at the time.
How did you get into that much debt? Like over what?
Well, it was under my mother. She had placed 3 credit cards under my name without me giving my consent. And when I did find out, it was too late. There was already debt. I had just started getting to know what credit cards and credit card debts and credit scores were like. So when I found out I had this debt level of debt, I was scared, because this was back when I think one of the credit score companies got hacked. So I was checking to see if I was affected. And I was, but it wasn't, it was from within. It wasn't from like some hacker, it was from my own mother. So I at first kind of, I went along with it. I was like, okay, this is survival, because she left her ex-boyfriend. She's with me, so everything's going to be fine. And I was thinking I was doing the right thing, but I was enabling her into her alcoholism. And I lost my girlfriend at the time, because she saw what was going on and I didn't understand it. And I had to let a lot of my friends go. I lost a lot of my friends from basically just thinking I was doing the right thing, sacrificing for family, only for the family to cripple me and rob me financially, mentally, physically, and socially.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, like I haven't been in a serious relationship. So, but I hear these stories about men getting cheated by women or women cheating on them. And even though it's from just my mother, and I haven't really had a real relationship with like a girl my age and actually had sex with, I did end up transforming into a boyfriend role, where the mother was acting as sort of that innocent 17-year-old girl, but the kid was acting as the adult.
Have you read Neil Strauss's The Truth About Relationships?
No, sir. In fact, I actually was introduced by you by Aaron Clary, or Captain for short.
Yeah, the Captain.
He referred me through a video you can look up. It's about his view on transgender. But basically, the family divorce was such a wreck. My brother actually is what he would refer to as
Well, hang on a second. I understand that you talked to Aaron. You did, you know, a little bit of coaching. But the reason why I'm making reference to that book is there's a good part of that where Neil talks about his enmeshment issues with his mother. Basically, his mom tries to replace the father, her husband, with the son as a primary kind of relationship. It's a really interesting book. I mean, he kind of goes, he dives into all these different types of relationship types that he gets into, but it's kind of the follow-up to The Game, which is his pickup artistry stuff. You might want to check it out. Yeah. I need you to get right to the point, though, because I got to move on to the next guy that's waiting, because I got two others and I wanted to get this thing wrapped off in about an hour.
Right. Well, I mean, that was the core of it was.
Yeah.
And admittedly, I did jump in midstream, so I don't fully know the topic, admittedly. But I just wanted to share that for people who may be going through or having a similar situation like that, except it's with their mother.
Yeah, that's like, an enmeshment issue.
Yeah, that's a what? I'm sorry.
Enmeshment. I don't know if it's spelled E-M or I-M, but it's pronounced enmeshment. Look up The Truth by Neil Strauss. Grab that book, man. You'll really enjoy it. You're going to get a lot out of it.
Appreciate it, good sir. And thanks, dude. Thank you.
See ya. Yep. All right. Scroll up here real quick. Groomsman Wedding. Super chat here. Rare spawn. Thanks, dude. He says, groomsman and wedding this year. Known him since I was a kid, but I'm just not feeling it. Don't like the girl. And over time, she took over. Feel bad if I don't go. I talked about that earlier on. I don't know if you caught that, but I would not participate today. I mean, that's where I'm sitting today. You might be in a different place. Your headspace might be in a different place. Maybe you've got more obligations or more pressure to attend. But for me today, I just would not bother. I wouldn't support somebody signing up for a nightmare. That's just me today. But I totally get where your head's at. Mike, I'll pull you in real quick here. Here we go. You got a question or experience you want to share relevant to the topic tonight?
Just an experience. I became fully red-pilled, I guess, about 3 or 4 months ago. But prior to that, I split up with my wife. I'm now divorced. I think it's 3.5 years. And I sort of went down the path of MGTOW, and then I got a little more politically aware.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got an older brother, and there's this woman who's got her hooks into him, and he's been basically her rent supplement for more than a decade now. He's living down in the basement. She's dating other dudes while he's there. and he's taking himself off the market. It just disgusts me. And
Hold on a sec. So he's taking care of the accommodation. He's no longer with her?
No, they're still under the same roof. They split the rent. She couldn't afford the full rent.
Okay, but are they dating? Like, are they in a relationship, or where are they at?
Well, from his perspective, yes. From her perspective, no.
Okay, so from his perspective, he's in a monogamous relationship. From her perspective, she does whatever the hell she wants.
Yeah,
under even the though same he's paying rent.
Well, he's paying half the rent, but
okay, yeah. Okay, all right.
So he's got none of the benefits and all of the downsides, and yeah. She's just a hateful person to boot. Like, I banished her from my place years ago now, mm-hmm. which I'm kind of proud of. But in any case, so I started to push a little bit harder after reading Rollo's book. And that was my last conversation with him was about 4 months ago, and we haven't spoken since. And I've been thinking about patching it up. But, you know, your phrase, the juice isn't worth the squeeze, is
yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at. It's like, I think he's going to really crash and burn before we can talk again.
Yeah, he probably needs to get to a tougher spot. I mean, your life will get better. What'll probably end up happening is either through ways of social media or family, he'll just hear about how you're doing a lot better since you got divorced. You got more freedom. You know, you can do what you want. You've got more money, perhaps. And he's going to see the misery that he's in, living in the basement of a house that he's splitting rent with a woman he thinks he has a relationship with that's porking other guys. So. It'll catch up to him at some point, but like I said, you know, before, like, the alcoholic's ready to deal with his drinking problem when he acknowledges he has a drinking problem. It's like, you know, the simp is ready to deal with his simping when he's ready to acknowledge that he's a simp. And most of them aren't ready to do that until they feel like they've gotten to a place of some form of trauma. They might reach out, they may not reach out. I mean, you might just want to check in and be like, hey man, how's it going? Haven't heard from you in a while, or getting together with Bob and Jim at the bar, you know, for our annual meetup, you know, you want to come down sort of thing. Just kind of throw out the olive branch and see what he does with it.
Yeah. I might give that a try. He's like, I'm 58, he's 4 years older. So we're both, you know, should have known better a long time ago. So I'm late to the party. He still hasn't arrived.
Yeah. Hey, listen, there's guys that are 70 years old that I've talked to about one-itis. There's guys that are 21 that are fully unplugged, that know more than most guys, you know, twice their age, you know, when it comes to stuff like this. So there's no real, you know, there's no age limit or cap to this. It's just, it comes when it comes. When the student's ready, the teacher's going to appear. Till then, he's stuck in the basement living that life, man.
Yeah. Well, he's been a simp all his life, and I can't say I was a simp, but I was certainly blue pill. But
What would he say if you told him, "Hey, Bob, you know you're a simp, or you've been simping this entire time"? Like, what do you think he would say? Wait, Mike, what's a simp?
He'll rationalize it. He can rationalize being on fire.
Don't guys just love to complicate their lives and then justify why they do it?
Well, here's the other thing too. So he is really taking care of this woman. She's now come into health problems, which is even worse. She's a real catch. But
how old is she?
I'm gonna say 50 or so, and she is nothing to look at, even when she's younger. Like, and she's just, there's nothing redeeming about her. But and that's, you know, a little bit of bias, but
invite him over or invite him out to an event and make sure you got some hot arm candy with you. And that might have him asking you some questions, right?
Yeah, he's already seen that before too. And, but in any case, so I guess I was agreeing with the point of don't become a red pill evangelist, which is, you know, I'm save fresh to the party on red pilling, you know, from the, male female perspective, and mm-hmm. I really did want to share that, and I got enough pushback from a few people. Like, my entire social circle, they're all blue pill with the exception of one guy, and you know, he's a young guy that I rock climb with, and he's 25, so you know, he's eating up the rational male and all this other stuff that I'm throwing his way, that I, you know, I'm two steps in front of him on all of this. But other than that, everybody I know was all blue pill.
Yeah. It takes a lot of work to get there. Like I remember the conversation that I had was with this handsome redheaded guy named Tom from California. He was an entrepreneur, and we were at this men's retreat, and we were just shooting the shit about life and women and stuff like that. And I don't know how we got on the topic of my, my life with women, but I was obviously expressing enough trauma and BS at the time that he saw it within himself. You know, you should really read this book. It's called Rational Male by Rollo Tomasi. He goes, I think you get a lot out of it. And because I knew, liked, and trusted him, first thing I did was I just grabbed it off Audible and I listened to it on the flight back, right? And then I listened to it again, like almost immediately. So, you know, I always say the student's going to be ready to consume that shit when the teacher's showing up at the right time. And Tom just happened to be my teacher at that time that, you know, gave me what I needed to hear. And I didn't protest. I didn't resist. I was dealing with trauma. I needed to get some clarity around it. And I wasn't getting it anywhere else. I wasn't getting it from family. I wasn't getting it from my parents. I wasn't getting it from my friends. It was the standard, you know, BS narratives that I was tired of hearing. It was just be yourself. Just be the nice guy. You know, someday somebody will show up that'll truly appreciate you for who you are. You know, the standard crap, right?
Yeah, well, it's funny because, you know, being, you know, just recently red-pilled, I've still got, I can see things very much through the blue pill lens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of these platitudes and narratives and all this other bullshit, like, it doesn't add up. And it's, but everybody keeps spouting the same shit. Like, you know, I went to a party not too long ago with this vegetarian fucking Tesla driver, and you know, he was on about how he's saving the environment and everything else, and how you know, we're all screwed because the Tesla subsidies are going out the window. And I'm like, well, shouldn't it be market competitive? And anyway, so I backed him into a corner with the Socratic method, which was kind of fun. But anyway,
but that doesn't really lead to anything when you have arguments with people like that. It's like trying to, like, I sent an email out today on my list. Some of you guys might have seen it, but I said into it exactly what happened with my Facebook page, because it got unpublished. And you know, trying to reason with somebody that doesn't want to hear it, you know, the Tesla driving feminist vegan guy, is like trying to administer medicine to somebody that's already dead. It's pointless. Like, it's not going to have any kind of effect. So those are the times that you want to save your breath when it comes to people. It's friends that I would like to really focus on, and guys should really reserve their energy for, is trying to unplug these chumps that are friends that you care about, that you don't want to see go down a bad place. And if they don't want to listen because they're not ready to hear it, that's fine. You know, let them keep guzzling away on the booze until they come to a point where they realize, I've got a problem and I need to deal with it. And maybe they'll come back to you then. Maybe they won't, you know. But I always like to say, look, you know, the older you get less and less time on this earth. Don't let other people make their problems your problems. You know, live it for yourself. Enjoy the decline, you know, whatever the lyrics are. Like, you've heard guys like me, Cappy, Ryan, like we kind of share the, you know, the same philosophy of just, you know, enjoy the decline. And it's hard to enjoy the decline if you're constantly trying to unplug friends that aren't ready to hear it or don't want to participate in it. Because all that ends up happening is you get thrown into like this group or category, and they start calling you an incel, or what's wrong? You know, what's wrong with you? You know, there's something wrong with you. You know, maybe we should have you talk to a specialist, sort of thing. It's like, I'm great. My life has never been better. It's problems that you have. Like, you know, what's that saying? If somebody's got a problem with the facts, the problem isn't with the facts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I went to a Blue Rodeo concert recently. There was a group of, I think, 8 of us. I managed to squeeze them all into my car, and I drove them out there. Yeah. And we had dinner, and it was all of, you know, this virtue signaling conversation. And it was all I could do to bite my tongue through all of it. And one of them somewhere in the conversation was like, holy shit, I've known Mike forever. And he's like a conservative, you know, and I'm surrounded by, it's like, you know, 20 years ago, if you were gay, it's like, it's this big secret that, mm-hmm. It was,
Well, they do it. Well, most of these guys do it because they think it'll get them the girls, or the girls will, you know, like them more. Just respect women, and they'll love you more. And it's like, no, there's a lot more to it than just that, my friends.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Rich.
See you, brother. Thanks, Corey. Rich literally saved my life. Introduced me to Red Pill. I appreciate you, man. You're a good lad. Dave, I'm going to pull you in, and then we're going to wrap up. So you're up, brother.
Well, my camera is obviously not working.
You're all right.
But yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as everyone else. I had a couple of guys that I talked to about this right after I became more Red Pill aware, and I got the feelings. I got the same feelings they did. You know, people aren't listening to you, and they look at you like you're a conservative in a liberal world. And so I dropped that. But I've had good conversations with two of my really good long-term friends that got divorced. And they were much more receptive to some of the things. And one of the guys actually like, "You're kidding me." Yeah. So here's the book.
Yeah.
I sent it over to him, and he says, "Really, thanks." And that was, we were on a fishing boat, dipping our lines in the water, and he was definitely paying attention.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's you know, there's a sense of accomplishment and achievement, and I realize that that's what a lot of guys are looking for. They're looking for, this did so much for me. I wanted to do as much as it did for me to you in its own way. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's because you care about the dude. You know, he's a brother. He's a brother from another mother, sort of thing, right? But you're going to have a hard time with some people. And if they're not ready for, they're not ready for it. The guys that are going through the divorce machine are usually the most ready for it. The guys that are getting their gears ground and losing access to their kids, or they're throwing all their money at their ex-wife and they're watching them get themselves alienated. That's when they're like thinking in their head, okay, the whole time I just thought happy wife, happy life. And that didn't work. And then I was in a sexless marriage. And then one day she told me that she loved me, but she wasn't in love with me. And who's this Kevin guy from sales that shows up at the house and hangs out with my kids? The hell.
Yeah.
So those guys are, the apple's ripe. It's ready to be picked. They want to have that conversation. But there's a lot of guys that are just not ready for it. There's like a certain amount of trauma that has to be added to the equation for them to want to have that conversation. So yeah. you gotta
I'm definitely more attuned to who I'm talking to and whether they can be receptive or not to it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And listen, like Dave, I know that you're in the community, but you're not super active on a daily basis on that page, but there's always somebody that shows up daily and it's like, okay, here's my problem. Here's what's been going on. Give me some feedback, bros. You know, what's up? And it's like, sometimes it's like, okay, dude, this is like 101 basic stuff, right? Like, let's kind of unplug you from some of the lies that you're still subscribing to. And they're ready to hear it because they're asking for that help and they're in the right place to get it. And they use it often, right? So
exactly.
Know your student, gentlemen. Know your student. So in closing, definitely know who it is that you're talking to. Know your audience. Know if they're right. You know that they're good. And really the best indicator is, again, use that example of alcoholics. The alcoholic is ready for AA when they acknowledge they have a drinking problem. The simp is ready to hear that they're a simp when they're tired of being a simp, sort of thing, right? That friend, you know, that thirsty beta is ready to hear about his, you know, his thirst and why it doesn't serve him after he's frustrated enough. So save it for those opportunities is what I would say.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Dave.
Yep.
See you, brother. All right. Let's do a little housekeeping before we wrap up. That was a good hour. Do me a favor, guys. There's a load of you on watching, but I've got less than 200 likes. The YouTube algorithms like likes. Show me some love. Give me a smash the like button, hammer it, smash it, destroy it, whatever you got to do. Just hit it there for me. It helps out a ton. Also got to give a quick shout out to channel sponsor. So got to slide my finger over this way because it's reversed. Boom. Coopersoap.com. You can check out over there. It's also pinned in the top comment just over my shoulder here. Tactical Soap is the channel sponsor. It's pheromone infused, handmade soaps, high quality stuff. Doesn't have any endocrine disruptors that'll lower your testosterone, boost estrogen, phytoestrogens, none of that crap. And they also have a nice beard oil. One of the few companies out there that supports the creation of masculine content like this. None of that nonsense like, you know, you guys heard last year with toxic masculinity. none of that crap. So yeah, show a little support. It's coopersoap.com. You can check out with coupon code Cooper, get 10% off. I think it's already applied to this URL over here. If you use the link below, it's you might have to plug it in, but it's awesome stuff. I've been using it for ages. It smells great. Banners. Let's remove that. What else do I got to say before I got to bounce? Thanks for doing burnout on that like button, Troy. I appreciate that. I'm going to do two more shows this week. I think I'm going to do one on the Cold Hard Truth, which will be a very short one, probably less than 10 minutes. I got to create that event, so look for that. Make sure you're subscribed and you have the notification bell hit. I also got a Playing to Win coming out this Thursday with, well, I'll make the announcement right now because they've confirmed. I got Chris Cantu and MGTOW 101 joining me, who have, Chris Cantu reached out to me privately, and I saw some interesting posts on Miggy's channel. He was talking about basically getting fed up with a lot of the nonsense and wanted to level up. So going to have them on and kind of get into their Playing to Win story. They were some of the early guys that I'd paid attention to when I first got onto YouTube. So should be a fun conversation. I've never talked to them live. Yes, Bomber Command out. Thanks, Eric. Thanks for the reminder. Appreciate you guys watching. Again, leave a comment below. Smash the like button. If there's somebody that needs to hear about their simping, their thirst, they need to hear more about the red pill, you guys got it all in this broadcast. Remember, like, if the student is ready, you're going to know it. If the student is not ready, shut up. Just keep your mouth shut. There's no point in wasting your breath. You might as well have an argument with this coffee mug. Speaking of coffee mugs, dudes, merch down below. This stuff reminds you. On a constant basis. See you guys later. Next episode. Peace out.